story, prayer. Put it on the prayer first. There is this scene here, which is kind of powerful also. Episode 67 to 72, around 1 hour, 11 minutes. And even before and after, I guess. But start there. A sage comes in. I don't know who it is. Who are they? Vasishtha Muni and maybe Vyasadeva. Or just a sage. Anyway, he blesses Sanjaya with the power to see the past, present, and the future. Which is interesting itself, because I've been thinking that those up in the higher lokas, spheres, you know, outside of this physical, should be able to see the past, present, and future. I mean, according to logic and science that I come up with in my book. Anyway, so here it comes from another direction, that yes, he's blessing Sanjaya. And the king, Dhritarashtra, of course, that's where they are, he's very perturbed. Why do we wage war? Because this is just where the war is about to be inevitable. What is there in a piece of land that we are willing? To forget our relationships. And Sanjaya answers, land is a reflection of power. Land is a measure of power. That's why people stake their lives for it. And yes, same thing going on in the world today. Some people sitting there staking not even their own lives, but others' lives for power. Power of this land, of that land, those who have the oil over there, let's take them. Venezuela, Ukraine. Oh, lots of grain in Ukraine. Lots of this, lots of that, natural resources. Yeah, you're in control of that and you're in power. It's like a computer game, right? Rule and conquer. And it is as if these, some of these leaders of today, leaders quote unquote, think it's a computer game, this world of today. They probably see it mainly through their screens. So if 1 million people die in Ukraine because of a decision made by a couple of people in the USA, which I say is what happened, and not only me, but big military colonels in the US and big politicians and diplomats and experts and professors at universities all over the world. So take it seriously, please. This game is not a game. Now you want to do this, do it the way they did at Mahabharata time. You want to conquer land or whatever goodies you can find, be ready to lay down your own life for that. not the lives of others on the other side of the planet. And I'm sure I'm speaking for probably half of the Earth's population today. And just to see that seems almost impossible for many people here in the global north, the Western world, ruled by the whiteys, the superior race, right? Come on, that's what you think. And that's why you're so hung up about this racism issue. Because that's what's still going on in the culture here of the West, of the white people. So, I mean, someone needs to say the truth. And many are today. And what I'm saying here is that so many people here, because I'm standing in Sweden, are so completely, I shouldn't say brainwashed, because I mean, programmed by propaganda through this incredible hypnosis machine, social media, which is consciously being used by those who own and control it, not by the bad ones over on the eastern side of the planet, as they keep telling us in those same media. And as soon as you see and find in yourself this kind of idea that they over there are the bad ones, the Hitlers, the evil ones, and here are the good ones, then look again, please. Who is it that is telling you that? We're probably the quote-unquote good ones. Who are the ones in control of the media? The stuff that comes out of the screens that you look at today. And those screens are very, very powerful. They present suggestions. I'm a certified and professional hypnotherapist. I know what you can do with hypnosis and how you do hypnosis. And the first thing I realized when I started my hypnotherapy course and learned hypnosis, how to do it, was, hey, the TV, the television, the screens, it's a perfect hypnosis machine because it induces a kind of trance-ish state when you sit there and just flipping nowadays the screens or just flipping the channels and just seeing it, and there's rhythmical messages coming there, sometimes music, and music is very powerful because it induces that relaxation and it's rhythmical. And I can speak rhythmically and this way and that way, and it gets you into a kind of, you know, this is how it works. And it's very subtle, but it's very, very scientific. And it's used, hypnotherapy uses it consciously, and I would say for healing purposes, But there are those who use it for on stage just for making money, and there are those who use it for other purposes, selling things or controlling things and people. So, but most are not aware of that. So why am I saying this? Because the situation today is that more than half of the world's population, they look at the global north, as it is called today, but many don't even know it, what the global north and the global south is. Learn those two. And they shake their heads. And they see these old colonialist nations who used to be in the historical old colonialism that we all know about, don't we? Well, I only learned it in school as, yeah, we, the superior white people, we went to these other primitive countries, India, Africa, China, and so on, South America, and taught those Aborigines the real Christian way, the civilized, good way. But then when you read the books, the actual books that document that history written by the people in those countries, like how Europe underdeveloped Africa by this African scholar Walter Rodney, yeah. Read it. It gives the real history of Africa, and that book in itself tells it all, because you just project that same onto other continents, South America, Asia, and there you got it. And the Western people cannot see that. The white Westerners cannot see that because, first of all, they don't look very much out there anymore. They're busy enjoying themselves with all the luxury and high standard and money that they have. And they don't even know that these so-called rich and advanced and developed civilizations here, the civilization, right? To a large extent came about by stealing from other countries, from other continents, sucking out their resources, using their people as slaves. Because you see, slaves doesn't necessarily mean that you kidnap people and drive them in boats over to your country, have them work. In your fields. The smarter way that they came up with, these colonialists, was to let them stay where they are. And they work for us there. We move our industries, our fields, or cotton fields over there instead. Saves us a lot of trouble shipping them over here and this and that, feeding them. And they can work in the mines there of Africa. They can work in the fields growing cotton and opium and whatever. And we hardly need to pay them anything. We don't need to give them any education, nothing. It's very, very lucrative, would you say? Good business. Smart, yeah. High five. This is what has been going on for the past few hundred years. And if you're sitting here now in the West, the global North, in your comfortable home, listening to this and saying, I don't care about such things. Why are you nagging us about this? Relax. Have another beer. Is there karma? Well, you may not see that this karma means a little bit more than what your culture has done to those people in the global south. More, much more than half of the earth's population will come back on you. And you know, that's why we sometimes need to be awakened out of our comfort zone by these kind of slaps from destiny. Because, as it is said there in the old Indian wisdom, the Maya, this illusion, works in those two ways, dragging us down into the illusion and covering us over. And we just sit there and don't see things the way they are. And we're not happy when we are there. It's just a dull life of dull sense enjoyment. In sometimes great comfort, which can be really boring. And what do you do then? Or take some drugs or jump on a plane to some cool place. Because we got money, right? But you see, those people from whom all that money came, from their mines and their fields and their factories, they had enough. And it's not like they are planning to go to war with us. They just had enough. And they say, bye-bye. Now we take care of ourselves. And yes, you moved your factories over to our countries. No problem. You can keep them here. But we now also have our own factories. Many more, actually. And we are making good money. We're producing good things for ourselves and for each other. And if you want to be part of that, part of our cooperation, win-win cooperation, then fine. But then you got to play by the rules that we have. Working together, respecting each other's sovereignty, not exploiting each other, treating people within your own country as well as other countries fairly, honestly, compassionately. Then you're welcome. That's what they are saying, basically, the BRICS. And if you don't know what BRICS is, you should learn that quickly. Wake up a little bit. So they are not even threatening with retaliation. Because, you know, these countries, one of them is India, one of them is China, they have old wisdom. And if you look at their old wisdom scriptures like Chanakya Pandit in India and what's its name in China, Sun something, they all say that war should first of all be avoided. One should first try to make friends and solve the conflicts diplomatically and so on. Going to physical kinetic war, as they call it today, is the last resort. But here in the West, it's often the first resort. And that's how it always was. When the British and the Portuguese and the Spanish and the French and all these came into the harbors of towns in the Middle East, in Asia, Africa, and so on. They came with cannons and guns. They came as thieves, cheaters, con men, with only the objective of taking as much as they could. And if there was resistance, kill them all. As you hear now, these exact words were spoken by the Minister of War in the USA just a few couple of weeks ago, or months. Venezuela, a boat, blow it up. They are probably drug smugglers. Kill them all. That's not civilization. That's barbarian. That's how the barbarians think and act. And that's what the Chinese and the Indians that we now learn, and the Russians, I don't know, but the Asians, always thought about the Europeans way back. Barbarians. And they were right, and they are right. So now, yes, you who sit there comfortably in your bar or whatever, saying that, yeah, it's their karma. These poor bastards over there starve and die, and suffer because of our barbarian strategies through the past 400 years. But you see, tomorrow, or even today, someone will sit there in China in much, much nicer bar. And I've been there, seen them, saying the same thing about us, global northerners, Europeans, colonialists, who now are turning into the third world, the neo-third world, where there is chaos and suffering and wars and warmongering and gangsters and diseases and economy is going down the drain. Bubbles popping. Now the next one upcoming is the AI bubble. I hope you don't have any money invested in AI stocks. And you know, you don't need to get that even blessing from the sages such as Sanjaya got here. That sage just held up his hand and opened his mind so he can see the past and present and future. Well, some of us can, and we should maybe listen a little bit, because they are out there on YouTube and elsewhere today. Those who can actually tell us about history, enlighten us, and about what's really going on now, outside of that. Media narrative apparatus that you can see if you open your eyes, operating on the screens that you're looking at. The influencers influencing us, professionals employed by governments here and there, and of course by the ones who are ultimately controlling that media. So you only need to look that far. Who owns the media you're looking at now? And maybe that media allows free speech, but less and less. And there will be other media popping up which are owned by others, because the internet is a free media network. That fact remains. It's built on a military standard security, a network that can very hardly be taken down. So let's use it. And wherever you hear this message, messages like this, whatever channels or platforms or web pages, share that with others. If you agree and sympathize and find truths in it, And if you still say that, what are you talking about? Leave me alone. Everything is the way it should be. There's nothing we can do anyway. Then, well, you can do things like this. In fact, there's a lot you can do, and that we all can do. Influence rather than just becoming influenced by some others who do it for money or whatever, mainly. Who will tell you anything they have to tell you to make their money. That we share and influence, not influence, but just share with each other, inspire each other, help each other to see things more clearly. And why? Why should we? Out of some duty? No, because it makes our lives happier as well. And that's the thing that you may not be able to see unless you are a little bit able to look into the future. In other words, by just learning about the past and seeing the actual present, it's not that difficult to foresee a little bit what may be the situation in a year or five or ten. So if you think, I don't care, you know, I'm living a good life here and I'm satisfied with that. Why should I waste my time with these things? Well, if that's how you feel, then fine. But how will your life look 1, 5, 10 years from now? Oh, I'll be dead. Yeah, but how about your children and your grandchildren and the people, your friends, everyone around here? Oh, I don't care about them. I mean, some are even at that point, and I shouldn't be critical, but that's what it means to go down into the covered mode of Maya, ending up like a bug crawling on the ground just looking for food, not caring about or seeing anything else. So yeah, I mean, this is the lesson of life here. And it's for real. It's not in a book only. There are nice books, handbooks, shared wisdom books that are definitely of great value to us. And they're available now. You can see them on your screen, the one you have in your pocket, if you care to. So yeah, I'm not standing here as some kind of preacher waving some book in my hand and saying, repent, change, go out and work to save the world. Because that's the good thing to do. As the Lord in the High has told us. But it's about us, our lives, how you will experience your own life. Maybe in a year from now, can be completely different. And I know there's this voice there, it won't happen here. as Mr. Zappa made a song about. I'm telling you, my dear, it won't happen here. So, yeah, I mean, some of us learn the hard way, some learn the smart way. And I guess it's up to each and every one of us. But also, I mean, the situation in the world today is so spectacular, so bizarre. It's like a movie in itself. And I mean, what is said that reality exceeds the, I don't know the English, but verkligheten överträffar dikten, exceeds the story. So even if you're just interested in fantastic stories and dramas, look at the one that is going on today in the world. Yeah, the world is interesting and fantastic and fascinating, and this whole drama, we find it there in the old Mahabharat. Same story, repeating over and over again, the human story. And if we learn that, and that's why they wrote these beautiful stories like the Mahabharat, to teach us that. Look, this is not about some other people a long time ago, it's about us. We're humans, but you. And that one chapter of that Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita, where it really gets down to it. So all those books and scriptures and teachings are there for a purpose. And the reason they were written was somebody really wanted to do something to help the fellow brethren, sister, humans for a long time forward. Us. And we can really take advantage of that help. Because both globally, which of course is directed by just a few leaders who are far from able to do that job in this complicated world of today. We as well, each and every one of us, can take such an advantage of these teachings, these stories. To become happy and healthy and to live rich and harmonious and wonderful lives, being able to, and at least for our children and those who follow in our dynasties, that we should be able to, all of us, at the end of our lives, when we're ready to take our last breath, can honestly tell ourselves that, yes, that was a life well lived. I am happy about that life. Now it's time to move on. Greener pastures. or whatever. So yeah, these were some thoughts in the morning around the Mahabharata. Hare Krishna.